Welcome to the Life Central Bikers Church podcast. We trust that this message will speak into your life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't he good? Amen. Let's have a seat. Thank you, band. It's a privilege for me to speak with you tonight. And last night, as Paul was speaking, I was really getting worried because he was preaching my sermon. And I was really about to go home and prepare another sermon. And my wife said to me, she said, if this was so important to God that he gave you both the same sermon, you better preach it. So that's what I'm doing tonight. And my sermon tonight is maybe in different words, and I definitely can't do it as eloquently as Paul did. I'm just a born-again biker, so you're getting the born-again biker version of Paul's sermon tonight. My sermon tonight is entitled, I Am Lost, a story of sheep, pigs, and hypocrites. And this sermon comes in a mini-series. I'm not going to give you the whole mini-series tonight. Season 1. Let me set the background for season 1. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, he hung out with sinners. He very much hung out, please don't get me wrong, but with people like you. And the church of the time, they were not only the religious leaders, they were also, like we today have the ANC in power. In those years, the Pharisees, they were the party that was in power. And when it came for time for election and they weren't the most popular party, they won't be re-elected again. So when Jesus came on the scene and he became a popular teacher, he became a threat to the ruling party. So next slide, please. It says, by this time, a lot of men and women of questionable reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening to him intently. The Pharisees, the religious scholars, were not pleased. Not at all pleased. Because Jesus hung out with the sinners and the drunkards, and the prostitutes. And the Pharisees started attending Jesus' teachings, but not to learn from him. They started to hang around so that they could find something that he did wrong because they wanted to kill him. Their grumbling triggered the story that I'm about to tell you. Yes, season 1, Alistair, of my mini-series. Jesus said, and remember, he's speaking now to the Pharisees. He's saying, imagine you are a farmer and you had 100 sheep. And you decided to count them and you realized there was one missing. Wouldn't you leave the 99 behind and go look for that one sheep? And if you found it, you would put it on your shoulders and you would have a feast. And he said, there's a great feast in heaven if one of my lost sheep are found. Yeah, and isn't that great? Isn't that great that there was a feast in heaven when you were found? Because all of us were lost at one stage. And remember, I say this again, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees when he was saying this, because what he was actually saying, you are supposed to go and look for that lost sheep, and you're not doing your job. It was a quick season, this one. Here comes season 2. It's a little bit longer. For season 2, I have to set the background as well. And I have to tell you about a rule. It's a rule from Moses, from the law that God gave Moses. And the rule went like this. It says, the son, if you have a son and he's really stubborn and he doesn't listen to what your parents are saying, what you were supposed to do, and maybe if we did this with our teenagers today, we would have a lot more rule and regulation in our society. But if you had a really stubborn teenager, parents were supposed to take him to the leaders, to the elders, to the priest. They had to listen to the story. And if they found that he was guilty, listen here. If the parents say, this son of ours is a stubborn rebel. He won't listen to the things we say. He's a glutton. Weet julle wat 'n glutton? Hou wat te veel eet. He was a glutton and a drunk. The people were supposed to stone him to death. Harsh, eh? And the Bible says, and if you do that, then maybe the strength of being lazy. When I was preparing to the sermon, I said to my wife, can I say lazy ass from the pulpit? So sorry if I'm not allowed to say a lazy ass, but if your son is lazy and he was a glutton and a drunk, you were supposed to take him to be killed. Now with this background, I can start the second story, and Paul, this is where it sounds very much like what you preached last night. There once was a man and he had two sons. And the one son came to him and he said, Dad, I don't want to wait until you're dead for my inheritance. Please give it to me. And the father did. The rule of the time was the younger son was supposed to get 1/3 of the inheritance, the elder son the rest. So the younger son took his inheritance, and maybe this boy was like some of our kids today. You know, they still live in our house, and somehow they think that next year they're going to be a millionaire. And he took his inheritance. And maybe he thought, well, next year I'll be a millionaire with this money of dad. And he went to another country, he went to a city. And later on in the story that is written in Luke, we learn that this boy wasted his money, the Bible says, on whores and drunk parties. And when this money of this youngest boy ran out, well, the Bible says, famine fell on the land. Maybe it was a little bit like South Africa today. It was difficult to find work. And he had to take what he could get, and the only job he could get is looking after the pigs. Now for a Jew to look after pigs. Oh man, a pig is an unclean animal in the Jewish religion. And this boy had to, the son had to look after pigs. And the Bible says, and he became so hungry that he wanted to eat the food of the pigs. And as he sat there, I think he many a time thought of going home, but there was this thing, man, that prevented him from going home. If he went home as his father's son, his father was supposed to take him in front of the priest, say, the son of mine is a glutton and a drunk. We're supposed to stone him so we can get rid of this element in society. So this prevented this boy from going home, so he made a plan. Devised a plan in his own head, and he said, I'll go home, and I'll go to my dad, and, you know, I don't have any inheritance anymore. I squandered it away. I can't go home as his son, because as his son, I'll be stoned to death. I can only go home to be in my dad's house. And I'll go as a servant. And he got up and he did exactly this. And I think as he was traveling from the one country to the other one, he prepared the speech in his head, what he's going to tell his dad. Dad, I'm not worthy to be your son. He said, I'm going to go back to my father and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned before God. Please just take me back as one of your servants. But what this boy didn't realize is that his father was standing at the farm's gate, looking down the farm road every day. And he was wondering, when will my son come home? And I think the one day he stood there at the farm gate and he checked his figure coming up the road. And he thought, you know, I recognize that walk. It looks very much like my son. And as he was coming closer, he said, but he's dressed in rags. And he rushed out to him, and I think this boy went up and he said, Dad, I'm sorry. And he said, I don't want to hear your story. You're my son. You're lost, and I found you again. And he said, servants! And Paul explained it to us last night. Bring him sandals, and bring him a robe, and bring a ring for his finger. You know, in those years, if you had the family crest, you could spend money. Because you can go, I'll put my seal in the wax. My dad will pay you. And the dad took him back and he said to his servants, get the fattened calf and slaughter the calf. Now, let me just interrupt myself there. You know, that first story in season one about the sheep that was missing. You know, that sheep, maybe there's some of you sitting here feeling like a lost sheep tonight. And it's very easy to recognize that you're missing when you are lost. And you are like a lost sheep. You really don't know your way back. You've gone so far astray from the flock that the only way you're going to find your way back is if God helps you. The only way you're going to find your own way back is if somebody from the church goes to you and say, brother, let me help you to find your way home again. You really don't know how to get home. You know, the first night Earl was here, Earl said, if there's somebody in this audience that feels like they're on the point where they want to give up, stop me and come talk to me. I will pray for you and I will help you. And if you're in the lost sheep category tonight, and you know you're lost and you're at the brink of giving up, maybe you're considering suicide. Maybe you don't know where this month's salary is going to come from. Maybe you don't know how this relation of yours is going to turn out. You know, you're so lost. You know you're lost without God. And then there's the story of the lost boy. You know, that son wasn't lost because he got lost. That son was lost because of what he did. And you know what the difference is between the lost sheep and the lost son? That sheep was really lost. But the lost son knew his way home. And can I tell you something tonight? There's some of us sitting here tonight and we are so lost because of the things that we've done. We're also at the point of giving up. We're also so desperate. And you know you're lost when you're sitting in the pigsty. Maybe with the wrong friends. Maybe because of the wrong friends. Maybe in the circumstances that you're in, it feels like you're sitting in the pigsty. And you know, you have to take a decision and say, Lord, I know there's always something like this lost son. If we went home, he probably would have been killed. There's always circumstances where you can't stand up and go back. Do you know what? There's a loving father waiting for you back home. And maybe he's talking to you tonight. Maybe he's calling you by the name and he says to you, it's time to come home. You've been living amongst the pigs for too long. There was a time when I sat amongst the pigs. I remember it very well. It was in front of the scrap metal dealer in Boksburg. I sat there in my car selling scrap metal, trying to make a living. And I realized, it's in Farkok because of what I've done. And I wrote in the back of my order book, I wrote a letter to God. I said, Lord, there was a time when I was a prince in your household. And now I'm sitting in the pigsty. I'm selling scrap metal to stay alive. Lord, will you take me back, please? I'm coming back. I said, Lord, may I please become a prince in your household again? He took me back. And he made me a prince again. I'm standing in front of you tonight here, not as a lost child, standing as a man of God, as a prince in God's household. If you're a lost sheep, only God can take you back. But if you're a lost child, maybe it's time for you to get up. Put your pride in your pocket and go home. The father held a party for this boy that came back. He slaughtered the fattened calf and invited all his friends. And that's not where the story ends. Actually, this is where season 3 starts. Because you see, there's an elder brother as well. He's the one that never took his inheritance. Well, you must think about this carefully. At least the youngest boy had the courage to say, Dad, I don't want to wait for my inheritance. I want it now. The elder brother said, you know what? I'll work for my inheritance, but I also want what dad has got. That other two-thirds, it's coming to me. And he was working faithfully in his dad's household. And as he was coming back from the veld, he saw, but what's this going on? What's all the neighbors doing here? What's this music? Is there a party? Why wasn't I invited to the party? And he called one of the servants and he said, what's happening here? And the servant said, it's your brother, the one that was lost. He came back. The older brother stomped off in anger, sulked, and refused to join in. Luke 16. Hy het 'n houding gekap. And his dad came to him and he said, come in. Your brother was missing. He's back again. And this guy, listen to what this guy says. He's angry with his brother. He doesn't want to come in. He's judging him. He's saying, listen to what he says. He doesn't say, that brother of mine. He says, that son of yours. You know, my wife does the same. When my daughters did something wrong, that daughter of yours. You know what they say? If she's shorter than 1.6, she comes with a houding. Let me take another commercial break here. You know, if that wife of yours with the houding, the Bible says a good wife is a gift from God. Can I ask you tonight, how are you treating the gift that God gave you? Is she the princess in your house? Are you treating her like a gift from God? End of commercial. And this elder brother, he kapte houding and he judged his brother. And his dad said, but son, you've been here all along. You could enjoy anything in my household. And you know, at this stage, you start reading and you realize that the younger brother is no more lost. But the elder brother is definitely still lost. And it seems that the story is ending there in Luke. Luke 15 verse 20. But if you read on, if you read in Matthew, you see that Matthew is also telling the story of these prodigal sons. But he's telling it from a different point of view. Listen to it. It's written in Matthew 21, 28. He says, tell me what you think of the story. There was a man, a farmer, who had two sons. Does it sound familiar? He had two sons, and he said to the younger son, will you go work in the vineyard today? And the younger son said, nah, not going to do it. Rather give me my inheritance. It's not written there in Matthew, but rather give me my inheritance. And maybe as he was in the pigsty stage of his life, he realized he had to go back. And although he said no to his father, he's not going to work on the farm later on, he decided to come back and work on the farm. But the father also said the same to the elder brother. Will you go work on the farm today, please? And the elder brother said, yes, I'll do that. But he never got around to doing it. And now the Lord asked the Pharisees. Remember, he's talking to the Pharisees, eh? He says, who do you think is the better one here? And the Pharisee said, it must be the younger brother. And I'm going to come to the next verse now. I'm just going to stop there. I just want to say that the elder brother here on the farm, the one that is now pointing a finger at his younger brother, he's now the one that is lost, but he also represents the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were the church of the time. So now this is where my sermon gets serious. Because now I'm talking to you, the church of the time. And maybe there's some of you, you're saying, you know, there was a time when I was a lost sheep, or I was a lost child, the younger brother. But maybe there's some of you sitting in this audience tonight, and you don't realize that you lost. Because it's not so easy to sit in the church and realize that you lost. Just like Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and he was trying to explain to them, Pharisees, you are the older brother. You were supposed to go and fetch that guy that was lost, but you didn't. I had to leave heaven and come down to do it. It's not so easy to recognize when you're lost in church. Can I tell you something about us sitting in church? The devil knows. He can't come to you with all the pleasures of the world, and you're going to fall for it, and you're going to end up in the pigsty. He knows you're too clever for that. He knows you're too religious for that. So you know what he does? Comes to you with envy. Because you've been sitting in the Father's house your whole life, and you must deserve what is coming to you. And can I tell you something? None of us deserve it. It was only through what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. Just as that brother that sat in the pigsty didn't deserve it, the elder brother, us, here in church, didn't deserve it either. But let me take you to that verse again about the elder brother. He said, Father, that son of yours, he got angry. He didn't want to go and join the party. So how will you recognize if you got, Pastor George must also says, we sheep with bokneigings. How will you know if you're sitting in the church here tonight and you're actually lost and you are lost and you've got Pharisee neigings. You've got hypocrite neigings. I want to give you a test, and I want you to test yourself as I'm mentioning this tonight. How many of you are sat with anger in your heart because of what of those sinners have done and then wanted to come back to church? How many of you sitting in church here tonight has judged those sinners out there and say, yeah, it's a little bloody verdiende loon that hulle kry wat hulle het. How many of you are acting like Pharisees when we were supposed to be out there looking for the lost? This older brother, he got angry. You ever gotten angry at anybody in church? Have you ever come to the point where you say, well, I'm going to leave this church because I'm not happy with the way they're doing things? Have you ever judged that guy that's living in sin with his girlfriend? At least I'm not like him. You know, I've been working in the Father's house and I deserve to go to heaven, but not that guy. Have you ever gotten angry? Have you ever judged? Have you ever gone to your brother and was downright nasty to him? Have you ever thought if maybe you are the Pharisee in church? Have you ever thought that maybe you're sitting in church and you're totally lost? You like that elder brother. Let me give you another couple of examples on how you can test yourself. When you heard about somebody doing something wrong out there, or somebody in church doing something wrong, was your first reaction to get angry? Or did you have the heart that Jesus had and said, I'll go to them and I'll share my Father's love with them. I'll go and fetch them back. I'll go hang out with the sinners and the prostitutes and the drunkards, and I'll bring them back. Have you ever looked at the world and judged them instead of feeling the compassion that Jesus felt for them in such a way that he left his kingdom and came to die on that cross, the very thing that we're celebrating today 2,000 years ago? What's your first reaction? Is it anger or judgment or resentment? Or is it compassion? Do you know what God says in the Berg Prediken, the Sermon on the Mount? He said, blessed are you if you're sorry about the state of the world today. Or are we standing here in a holy righteousness and judging the people out there? Let me take you to the next verse. This is very harsh. Remember, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and I'm actually talking to the church of God tonight. Jesus said, yes, This is after they said it's the younger brother that went and worked on the farm. He said, Jesus said, yes, and I tell you, crooks and whores are going to precede you into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord is talking to the Pharisees, talking to the church of the time. I'm talking to you tonight. Are you so lost here in church and you don't even realize it, that the crooks and the whores are going to make it into heaven before you do? Because it's very difficult to realize that you're lost when you're sitting in church. I'm going to come to the season finale. Maybe you're a sheep tonight and you know that you're lost. If you're a lost sheep, don't be so focused on your surroundings that you don't hear Jesus' voice tonight calling you back. You maybe find yourself between the pigs tonight and you know that your life is dirty and rotten. Don't be so focused on your difficulties that you forget that you have a loving Father back home. And that maybe tonight when you judged yourself, you realize that I've got some Pharisee in me. Maybe I'm the little bit of a hypocrite that Jesus spoke about you. When Jesus spoke to the Pharisee, he said, you bunch of snakes. You think you're so righteous. But the whores and the crooks are going to precede you into heaven. And remember, it was actually the Pharisees that were supposed to go out there and go fetch those crooks and whores back. But they didn't. I'm going to ask the band to come forward as I end off, and I want to tell you a true story that happened in my life. A girl came to me. She's a well-known prostitute in Kuruman. And she said to me, Pastor, I'm pregnant. I can't carry on doing this work that I'm doing. And the brothel there in Kuruman is what used to be known as a very larny hotel, the Kuruman Hotel. But it's now full on a brothel. And she said, you know, I've spoken to my mom and dad. They live in Vicksburg in the Free State. And I need a lift to get back to them, but I've got some furniture there in the whorehouse. Will you help me to get it out there? And there's no, my mom and dad lives in a 2-bedroom municipal house. There's no place there. Can we store it at church, please? And I got into my bucky and I went to the brothel in Kuruman. And you know, in the first, the ladies working there, they were very scarcely dressed. I don't know where to look. When first they saw me, they thought, well, I was just another client there. But as I helped that girl to carry her furniture out of that brothel, the word spread that I'm a pastor. And I could see those ladies, every time I passed them, they had a little bit more clothes on. And I could see the resentment in their eyes. I'm just another guy making use of them, changing to respect. Because I was the guy helping the prostitute. I took her furniture to the church and we stored it there. I loaded her in my car and I took her 500 kilometers to Vicksburg. And as I got to her house, I met her mom and dad, elderly people. And I was sitting in a very scarcely populated or furnished house in Vicksburg. And the dad said to me, he said, Pastor, thank you for bringing my daughter home. He said, you know, you didn't have to do it. You gave me a bit of belief in what it is to be a Christian. And he said, you know, I'm old already and I'm sick, but I've now got my daughter to feed and I've got a new mouth to feed when that baby arrives. And I'm not healthy. Will you pray for me, please? And I did. As I was driving back home alone in my car for 500 kilometers, I was thinking about our congregation in Kuruman. And I wondered how much of the people in that congregation would approve of what I was doing that day. And would they think the same of me if they knew I was in the whorehouse the whole morning carrying furniture? And I also wondered about the congregation and I was thinking, do they realize that Jesus did the same? Do you realize that he did the same when Mary Magdalene washed his feet and the Pharisees wanted to chase her out? Do you realize that he did the same when that woman that slept with another woman's man, husband, they wanted to stone her? And Jesus said, no, don't stone her. Do you know that Jesus did almost the same at the well at Samaria with the Samaritan woman? You know, church, but those are the people out there that we are supposed to go and save. We are supposed to go out there and find them and bring them into the flock. But you know, sometimes we've become such hypocrites, such Pharisees, that we even look skeef at those people out there. Yet those are the very people that we're supposed to go and save. Now I'm going to give a call tonight. It's not the traditional one, and you might think that I want to pray for the lost sheep and the people that find themselves in pigsties today, and the people that realize that maybe I've got a bit of Pharisee in me. Not what I want to pray for tonight.
The Lord asked me to ask you something very specific tonight. This ministry is supposed to be on a mission. We are supposed to go into the bars and the rally sites and to the lost bikers out there, because we're in the biking ministry.
When last were you in the pub? When last did you preach in the pub? You know, the Lord says, and I'm quoting from the Boodskap translation of the Bible here, dat help nie julle sit mekaar in warm broei in die kerk nie. Because the doctor came for the sick. We, the church, we're supposed to be out there in the pubs and on the rally sites. We're supposed to go and find those whores and those crooks and those drunkards and go tell them about the good news, what Jesus did this weekend. We're supposed to be on a mission. God brought this ministry into existence to go and find the lost bikers. Are we doing that? Or are we, as the CMA, sitting here very comfortable in church and ons broei mekaar warm? Now maybe some of the leaders are going to be cross with what I'm going to say now. But I remember when we sat so many bikers and CMA members in this church, we couldn't fit anybody into this church. But when we were supposed to be on a mission, we weren't CMA on a mission, we were CMA on a pedestal. And maybe God has knocked us down. He said, you better get back to what I've called you for. Didn't call you to sit and broei mekaar warm in die kerk. I called you to go out onto the highways and the byways and to bring them in.
So here's my call to you tonight. And this is a call from God. So I thought about this very carefully.
I want to ask you, who's prepared tonight to say, Lord, you can use me to go and find the lost? You know, and if there's only 12 of you, and it's fine, because that's what Jesus started with. When he gave his great commission to his disciples, he said, go make disciples of all nations. He only had 12, and one betrayed him. So I want to ask you tonight, who of you are prepared to go out there, spend weekend after weekend in the pub, and weekend after weekend on a rally site, and weekend after weekend using your own money, driving in the cold and driving in the heat?
Because this is our mission. This is what God called us for. This is CMA. That's why you exist. And if we don't do it, then maybe we've become the hypocrites. So I want to ask you tonight, if you are willing to stand in front of them the commander of the armies of God and say, Lord, you can send me. I'll go. I want to stand here with you tonight and say, Lord, I'll go. I'm in it for life. I'm not going to give up. Lord, I'll go. Do you want to stand with me? But remember, you're standing for before a living God. And you're saying, Lord, yes, you can use me. You can send me. Then I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we realize that we're standing in front of you tonight. There's nothing inside of us that we can hide from you. You see right through us. And Lord, I know that I felt of giving up so many times. Saying, Lord, this is too difficult. I've been hurt so much. And like Pastor Mosley said this morning, a pastor has got a pastor heart, and when somebody leaves me, feels it. But Lord, I won't give up. Because there's too many lost out there. And Lord, while you've placed us in this ministry, here we stand before you tonight and we say, Lord, you can send me. I'll go. Father, equip this army of yours and let us work on this mission with such a passion, Lord, that next year we'll fill this house out and only a quarter of us will be CMA members and the rest will be the lost that we've brought into your house. Father, work in our hearts that we won't become vain, that we won't become hypocrites. Father, that we'll work because we're doing it for you, our God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this ministry into existence. Father, help us and give us a passion in our hearts to work in this ministry. I ask it and we commit ourselves completely to you and to your cause. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. You can take your seat. The band is going to end for us with a song and a couple of songs after that, I hope. And I want to remind you that 2,000 years ago tonight, all was lost. The Lord has been dead for 24 hours and nothing has happened. The disciples, well, what about these promises that Jesus made? But can I tell you something? What we knew tonight, what they didn't know then, Sunday is coming. And I want to speak something over this church and this ministry tonight. Sunday is coming. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you for listening to the Life Central Bikers Church podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Look us up on Facebook, Instagram, or visit our website at lifecentralchurch.org.za. And get in touch.